Ever heard that? Have you ever heard that song? Pretty new one? That was beautiful. Beautiful job. I really appreciate that. Well, pray for Micah and Katie. They're scheduled to close on their house and fund on Tuesday. And they're in Rowlett, and they're excited about getting that done, if we can get that. And of course, I told him, I said, it's not done until it's funded. You know, it's not done until it's funded. But we appreciate that. Pray for it. Tuesday night, we've got a lot of people already out traveling. They told me they're going to be out for 2 weeks, you know, traveling around. And I heard that spending is up after the election. I don't know if that's true or not. A little hoping maybe in the air, you know. I was talking to Brother Giordano not long ago. Said, man, our economy over here just stinks. And it's just really not good. And we're in Texas. Texas generally is superior to other states considerably by much. And so pray that everybody has a good time and be back with us. We will be having the Lord's Supper on Tuesday night right here, and I'll be here, you be here if you can, and we'll look to the Lord in that. I was really glad to see Brother Greg Woodcock show his romantic side just a minute ago, because that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit now. I was glad he got up. You know, he had put his jacket on to be an usher, and I appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate that. Then Miss Cindy's a little cold, so he took off his jacket. So he took his off and gave it to her. And they're just good sweethearts back there and looking so chummy and lovey. It's good. So you're doing real good tonight. I would give credit where credit is due. The second runner-up prize goes, you're the runner-up. The next one in order to be recognized is Brother Micah and Katie. They are sitting pretty doggone close over there, if you know what I mean. I don't know what to expect, but man, maybe we'll hear some news some down the road or something. I don't know. But they're sitting really, really close over there, and they look like they're in love. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing, right? And she did. She played a great song here just a few minutes ago, and we appreciate that. But you're all going to have to take back a seat. And now that I start to say something, they've changed. So, Brother Mark, put your arm back around Miss Rose the way you had it just a minute ago. Yeah. Oh, your shoulder. My shoulder's hurting me, you know. It's that, if it don't work, it hurts. If it doesn't work, you know. But if you noticed just a few minutes ago, nobody was sitting closer as husband and wife, which you need to be, by the way, for what stuff I'm talking about. Nobody is sitting closer than Brother Mark and Miss Rose. But, you know, I want to say they're old hands at this, but they are longtime lovers. And they've been doing this a long time, and they know how to do it. Let me tell you. They know how to do it, and so they are a blessing. Just right up to just a minute ago, if you notice, I mean, Miss Rose, she was all but in his lap, you know. I mean, hey, keep the things going. Keep the fires burning. Amen? Keep the fires burning. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit. Now, I'll try to give you a little bit of time back tonight if I can. I don't know. I'm already kind of late getting here, but marriage and relationships. Many spouses start out all lovey-dovey, everything's great, and then they turn into something else in time. And I would say many disgruntled spouses, they pour on, but they don't pour on love, they pour on loathing. They just get to a point, they just loathe one another, just cut each other down and stuff all the time. Some are not pouring on love, but they pour on lingering. In other words, I'll do this for you, and then I'll wait and see how things go. And then if you don't return that to me, in other words, if you don't do some kindness of equal value, then I'm not going to go do any additional things of love to you until you at least catch up with me. And I call that conditional investing, you know. I'll love you, but you got to love me back. And if you don't love me back in equal proportions to loving me, then I'm going to kind of just start turning off the spigot. You know what I mean? Yeah? Yeah? Y'all can say amen or owe me anytime. All right. What about pouring on instead of love, pouring on belittlement? This is a subtle thing that starts off maybe with sometimes even with humor. And next thing you know, tickling starts to hurt. And it is the tearing down of one another, the putting down of one another. And like I say, sometimes it starts off and it's just fun, and you know, a certain amount of that is fun. But if you're not careful, it can start to undermine the things that are healthy in your life, and instead of pouring on love, you're pouring on disrespect or saying things that will pull your spouse down or just kind of take them down a peg or two. After all, they need to be pulled down a peg or two. Like that's supposed to be our role to do that? I don't think so. I don't think that's to be our role. And I know there's a number of things that really distresses wives and women. And there are also things that distress men and just the belittlement of that. And I can tell you for one, I've only been one of those, by the way. But there are many things that we can do and sometimes do that are very destructive in our lives and to our homes, our marriages. And one of those is belittling one another. The world's pulling you down enough. We don't need a spouse to do it for us. All right? We need to encourage one another, love on one another. And all this, of course, pouring on loathing, lingering, belittling, and when we should be pouring on love to one another. Now, I was greatly distraught, maybe not distressed, but distraught at least, by this article that I read that, people, commentators, the so-called professionals of the media, which are not, saying not to be friendly to people who voted for President Trump or something like that. You know, you talk about how wrong that is. That is so wrong. It is so wrong-headed. What do you want? You want an America, or you want just a fractured nation? What do you really want out of this thing? That's horrible counsel. Horrible counsel. And somebody ought to pull the plug on their electric source. You know, it's so bad. But when we should be pouring on love, and when we go to our meetings, we're going to San Angelo again, and we'll have a Thanksgiving there with some family and some friends as well, I'm sure. And it's a time for pouring on love in our homes, in our families, in our family gatherings. Do we always like everybody that's at a meeting? No, but we should love everybody that's at a meeting, right? We should love them and ought to be pouring on love. We ought to put the pedal to the metal. Brother Jeff was here. I'd talk about that a little bit. You know, Brother God, Jordan, he's over here. You know, put the pedal to the metal, man. Put the pedal to the metal. We need to be putting the pedal to the metal when it comes to this issue of love. Now, my great-grandfather would say, you say, what was his name? Papa. That was his name. Papa. And they had a horrible habit of dipping snuff. I remember that about them. And they also had billy goats in the backyard, and I was scared to death of those billy goats back there. I think they just used it to keep the weeds down in the backyard. But they dipped snuff, and when I say they, Papa not only dipped snuff, but she did too. And I'll never forget, but they were really professional spitters. At the spittoon or the coffee can. They didn't always have, a lot of times it was just the coffee can. And it was the bigger coffee cans, but it wasn't the little bitty things. But I think they could have hit a little one. But man, they kept, and that stream, just and every bit of it, I mean every, good to the last drop, would go right in that cup, right in that jar. I mean, they were really masters at doing that. But my great-grandfather would say, and it said to my dad and his siblings, his brothers and sisters, boys, wheels were made to roll. Let them roll. Boys, wheels were made to roll. Let them roll. He's the same Papa. He owned a little general store, a little food store with treats and stuff. And when he would drive and back out in north side of Jacksonville, Florida, it was kind of the congested area. He wouldn't even look and back out, and all the kids would all scream, hey, Papa, you're going to kill us all. He says, they know I live here. He'd back right out in traffic and not even look. And they'd have to hit their brakes, to keep from hitting that. He says, they know I live here. They see me coming. And that's just the type of man that he was, put the pedal to the metal. So a few years ago, I was making almost a daily cause that things kind of got down to the end of one of our members suffering from cancer and visiting that elderly couple. And I don't recall if it was at Thanksgiving, but it could have easily been around Thanksgiving. But my wife made me a special pie. She made a pie. And I went over there as I was going every day looking for pleasant, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I was looking for favorable things to discuss with her to kind of cheer her up. And I started bragging about my wife making this pie, and rightfully so. But as I was going through this and just going on and on about how proud I was and how good it was. And this, by the way, this lady would also, before she got so sick, she would make me pies as well. And I'm trying to keep it kind of private and secret here a little bit. But her husband about that time said in a very belittling way, "Well, I wish my wife would get in the kitchen and make me something." Just about like that. Now, I love everybody, and I would never hit an old man, but I thought about it that day. And I thought, my word. And I said, now, brother, and I'm trying my best not to say his name. I said, you're not the one here dying from cancer. Your wife is. And your back's not broke. If you wanted a pie, you wanted whatever, you could get in the kitchen and make it yourself. You say, man, you're a bold preacher. You go into somebody's home and say that? Well, if the wife is dying of cancer, I'm going over there almost every day, if not every day, at the inn. And then you get so ugly and pour on some foolishness like that upon your wife. Well, you would expect the preacher might say something to you in front of your face. And I did. Well, he didn't like that. Well, I hit him pretty good, but he deserved it. That is not pouring on love. That's not dwelling with knowledge. That's certainly not pouring on love. The national holiday, of course, the Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and millions are going to be traveling to see the family, the good and bad, the ugly, you could say. And Thanksgiving should be a happy holiday. This should be a happy holiday with friends and family, and we ought to be thanking the Lord for His many blessings throughout the year. It's supposed to be a national, so it's an annual event. So at this time of the year especially, we ought to be a thankful people in our hearts and minds. It is not a time for practicing our cutthroat techniques and how we can cut somebody else down or pull somebody else down or make them feel bad or you didn't call me, you were supposed to call me, it was my birthday. It's not a time for all of that stuff. It's a time for pouring on the love. It's not a time for opening up old wounds. I remember one time it's not a time for any of that stuff. It's not a time for digging up bones, and you know where the bones are. Leave them there. It's not a time for cutting down our kin or one another. It's a time of refreshing. It should be a time of refreshing for our bellies as well as our spirits. Would you say amen to that? Now, let's talk about that. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want to just bring a little short message here on pouring on the love. One day I woke up, and that's a good start for a day. You wake up. I woke up, and I was in a kind of a different mood. I, like some of you, I don't often eat breakfast. I do like breakfast. I like the foods that you eat for breakfast, you know, those real healthy things like over easy eggs. I like biscuits. I like gravy, I like jelly and butter, I like bacon, I like sausage, I like toast and jelly, I like orange juice, I like coffee, sweet sugar in there too, yeah, and some creamer these days, you know. So I like breakfast, but I don't often eat breakfast. But I woke up and I was in the groove, you know, and I wanted some breakfast, a particular breakfast. And what I wanted, I woke up thinking about it and smelling it, you know, in your mind, and that's French toast. I'm not French at all, trust me, at all. Now, my mother on special occasions would make French toast, and I have never been able to make French toast like my mother made French toast. Never been able to do it, but I give it a go. This time, my sweetie, she was willing to make me some French toast, and I believe I stacked up, I think there were 5 layers. You know, she got it in there and got those eggs in there, and you beat them black and blue, and then you throw some butter or milk and stuff in there and some other stuff. When I'm not looking, she'll throw that in there. And she beats all that stuff up black and blue, and then finally you get to the point, you got your pan going over here, and you dip that to your bread, you know, in the name of the Father. No, and you dip that bread in there, and you more than just dip, you got to leave it in there a little bit, you know, because you want it to soak up the yumminess. And then you put it over in that pan, and it does one of these things. And that means anticipation. Right? Now, Now, finally, there's enough of those that it's time to get started. Are you ready? Let's get started. And so I'm just one, two, three. Oh, no. It's one. The first one's real easy. The second one, you've got to do a little bit of artwork. You have to put it on there, and you've got to make sure it's turned one quarter. The second one. Then the third one, it's got to be turned a quarter turn. The fourth one, quarter turn from the other, the prior piece of toast. Quarter turn, put that on. And the last one, another quarter turn. Now, there's a reason. There's a reason. Trust me, there is a reason for all of that. When everything's all stacked up as you you get it, then it is time for the syrup. And not just any syrup. Now, my wife, she likes all the light stuff, you know, that you can easily see through. I can take it, but I would rather have the darker, deeper stuff. And so my favorite, all-time favorite, is what we called as kids the blue label. Now, there's green label and there's blue label, but we just knew it. We just called it by the label on the bottle. But it's Cairo syrup, dark corn syrup. Now, it is thicker than Heinz ketchup, you know, the old commercial. It is thicker than Heinz ketchup, but it is almost, it is not, but it's almost as thick as molasses or sorghum. Now, you got any idea? I know somebody in here, I know some of you know what I'm talking about, all right? Now, that's thick and that's strong. Now, I can take it. My wife can't take it. She is weak in the faith. She can't take the hard drink, you know. I mean the hard syrup. She can't do that. Only the preacher can take the hard stuff. So now, as you're pouring that blue label or sorghum, whatever it is, the molasses, you're pouring that, you fill the top, you know, layer completely up from rim to rim, fill it up. And then you want to make sure that it runs off the side and goes down on the other little quarter, see, turned pieces, so that the yumminess gets on every one of those pieces of French toast. Then it is not only lawful, but it is expedient that you, real quick, now you got to do this quick because usually you've already got the stuff on the top, the syrup on the top, and you realize there's still some things you could do to make this even better. And so you go about halfway down, pick it up real quick and pour some additional syrup about halfway down, because after all, it is a five-layered stack of French toast. Now, with all of that yumminess, that butter and deep, dark, sweet syrup all over that, now it's time to dig in and enjoy yourself. That's pouring on love. Pouring on love. Somebody says, you're going to die early, but I'll die happy. I'll die happy. You say what you want to say. I'll die happy. And maybe you'll get the key man coverage and you'll be wealthy around here, you know. Now, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. And I'm in the favor of that. Now, with that in mind, let's go to our text, back to our text from this morning, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God and Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Second thing, labor of love. Now I want to stop right there for just this point. Sometimes we do better loving strangers than we do our own spouse. Anybody want to say amen? Sometimes we do better at loving our work associates than we do our own spouse. Sometimes we love our family members, where we came from, more than we love our own spouse. Sometimes we love our extended family more than we love our own spouse. Sometimes we love our children more than we love our own spouse. Sometimes we love our neighbor, it seems, more than we love our own spouse. Sometimes we love our hunting partner, more than we love our own spouse. Sometimes we seem to love anybody and everybody more than we love our own spouse. Now, brothers and sisters, these things ought not so to be, right? That's not the way this is supposed to go. If I had not poured on all of that syrup, it would be the same as eating that dried French toast on that plate without any of all of that lovely sweetness to it. Love makes the pile great. Syrup makes that pile of French toast. I have never and never would want French toast without syrup. You can try to serve it to me, and if I'm at your house, I'll politely eat it, but I won't enjoy it. If you want me to enjoy it and you invite me over for breakfast, or we go out after church and we're going to go to a breakfast place or whatever, and you say, hey, I want you to try these French toasts. That'd be something like Miss Sherry would do. You got to try this. James and I just love it. You got to try it. Sherry would do that. You got to try it. Here, just take a bite of mine. That's what, and she would. She would. And if she gave it to me and I said, you know, that would be so much better. Oh, no, you can't. You got to try it just like this. I would try it and I'd be nice and I'd be polite because my mother taught me to do that. But I wouldn't like it. Why? Because I know what syrup tastes like. And I know what love tastes like. And if it's not there, I know it's missing. Now, that doesn't make me brilliant because I think you know the same, don't you? You husbands and wives, do you know when love is there? Do you taste it? Do you experience it? Do you feel it? You do, don't you? Of course you do. Of course you do. It is self-evident. I like that term. It's self-evident. Now, that's all made possible to love, the labor of love. It is not always easy to love those that we are closest to in the sense of proximity because we know our faults, our immediate family's faults. We know those faults better than we know anybody else's faults. And so we can go to office and say, man, these people have no faults. Well, you don't live with them. If you happen to live with them, you might not think they were so great after all. Matter of fact, you may not like them at all. Not at all. You might say, man, they are nasty. They are ugly people, right? But because we're around our own people all the time, we get to see all of the stubbed toes. We get to see all the warts. We get to see all the imperfections of one another. And if we're not careful, we start to see those imperfections and we stop pouring on the love as we should. And we need a reminder. Christian couples need a reminder. Christian people need a reminder. It is time. It's Thanksgiving and it's time. Pour on some love. Pour it on. Now, to really love someone, you've got to experience some things. The first one you're going to have to experience, you've got to, true love, you've got to experience conversion. To truly understand and exercise love, you have to be a Christian. Plain and simple, you have to be a Christian. At 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So you say, well, I'm going to marry this unbeliever. Don't do it. Don't do it. You might think, oh, they love you. Don't buy it. They do not know true Christian love. If you don't know true Christian love, then you do not know true love. It's got to be conversion. Got to be a conversion. Not only that, there's got to be a commission. Somebody that accepts the responsibility that it is ours to pour on the love. That's our duty. It's our commission by God. To do that. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. All those one another's, all those one another's in scriptures, we'd pour on the love. Then there has to be compassion. Jude talks about having compassion, making a difference. If you have compassion, if you have love, you're going to make a difference. You want to make a difference in this world? Learn truly how to pour on blue label syrup. I mean, pour on the love. Learn how to do that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Prove, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:8, the sincerity of your love. The Lord talked about how the inclination is to love your friends and hate your enemies. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. That's in the Greek. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You mean that cousin, that nephew, that sister-in-law who said something ugly about you 7.5 years ago and 4 days. Yes. 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 Finally, be ye one, all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love us, brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. 1 Peter 3:8. Now today, there are so many problems in relationships. Matter of fact, a lot of our problems that we have in life stem from broken relationships. Relationships that should not be, or as they should not be in our lives. And none of those are more important than our relationship with God. And second would be our relationship with our husband or our wife. And you've heard it said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's right. Now, take your Bibles over. Let's hurry and just go to chapter 13 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. My favorite all-time country comedian of all time is the one and only Jerry Clower. The born-again Southern Baptist, the mouth of Mississippi, Yazoo, Mississippi. He was a Christian man, by the way, a Southern Baptist, a faithful Christian and a Southern Baptist. He really was. And he was asked when he was in town one time, because he was involved in his church, a Baptist church down there. And he was asked, because he had a love for younger generations and all, and good for him, and that's what he should. But he was asked if he would to go by and make a visit with a young couple. And this young couple had been having trouble, and they've been fussing and fighting with one another. They've been married a long time, about 6 months, Yeah. So they finally set up the time that he's going to go over there and see what he can do to help this young couple. And he arrived, knocked on the door, and they opened the door. And he could tell when they opened the door, just got in the door. It didn't take him long at all to realize they have just been fussing and fighting. And people, you could put on your poker face all you want, but it still shows up. They just leave. Oh, hi, how are you? Hi, so good to see you. Just ignore him and just, it doesn't take a whole lot, does it, Brother John? You can say, They've been fussing. They've been fighting with one another. Well, he goes in, and then, of course, they finally get around the conversation, and he, why don't I just jump right into this thing? And so he did, and he says, why don't you just tell me what y'all were fussing about? Because it's obvious you've been fussing. But why don't you just tell me what y'all just were right now, just when I came over, what you were fussing about when I came in, and maybe we could just start there, and maybe I could help you out. And the man of the house, he says, well, I told her that she can't bake bread like my mother. She can't bake bread like my mother. And she turned with one motion and gave him that look that only a woman can give you, and that means drop dead 10 times over. And she's, I could if you made dough like my daddy. Get it, dough? Okay, y'all catch on there a little bit. Well, let me see what we can get here, just closing in chapter 13. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, French toast with no good syrup. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, make all these sacrifices, all the good, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, short-fused, thinketh no evil, puts the best face on something instead of the worst face, motives, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, man. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but then that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. Children ought not to get married. That's a pretty good start right there. If you're not an adult, maybe you ought not to get married. And now you can be 19 and still not be an adult. I'm just saying now. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Like the world revolves around you. Childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let me make just a quick run at kind of a run-on sentence, but a little definition of or description of charity or love. Charity is selfless. It's not selfish. Selfless. It is long-enduring. It suffers long. I mean, it just doesn't have a short fuse. It is long, 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 long. If you want to have a good marriage, you got to have a good marriage. It's going to take a long time to have a great marriage. You're not even going to know each other that well until 10, 20 years have passed. Really. I mean, you're just getting started. Young people, y'all really just getting started in that thing. And all of us were young once. Even Brother Mark was young once, you know, believe it or not. He was. And now his shoulder has older parts than some of us, you know. Love has the best of intentions and expects others to have the best of intentions. Hopeth all things. It is steadfast. It's constant. It's not something, well, give and take. Oh, no, no. It's always on the giving end. It's always on the giving end. Love of charity is humble. It's others first, Lord, others first. And I could go on with that. It is it's the making a difference in this world kind of love. And it makes a difference in the world. Now, Brother Greg, I picked on him, but he can handle it. He's got good shoulders. He takes off his coat and he gives his coat to his sweetie, his wife. She's cold. But it's a demonstration that he cares for her. And he wants her to be comfortable, even if he's cold. Now, I happen to know he's not cold. But even if he was cold, he would still give his jacket to his wife. Why? Because he loves her. That's it. That's it. It's not, is he comfortable? It's, is she comfortable? I want to bless her. Why? Because I love her. And so he intentionally does this, right? Intentionally does it to demonstrate that love. And that love demonstrates so much to her that she's going to feel the comfort and security of that love and know that that love is going to be ongoing. And it brings assurance to the home, to the heart, to the life of that couple. Now you really you're sitting over there. I just put his arm around her and just snuggling up. Hey, brother, save that for later. But it's imperative that she feels that. You with me? Are you with me? It's imperative that she feels that, man. It's imperative that she feels that. More than just knows it, she needs to feel it. Well, I told her once that I love her, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. You know, one of those things, you know. That's no. That's that light syrup. That's not the dark stuff. That's not the good stuff. The good stuff is reassuring, so that they know it, but also they feel it. They feel it. Now, you just tell me, and I'll close with this. Tell me if you, ladies and gentlemen, would not be better off having family gatherings with this kind of love poured on to your relationships. Poured on. Now, I know. Believe you, believe me, I know what it's like to stick your foot in your mouth or to say something you shouldn't say or something that's taken away that you did not mean. I have lived all of that stuff and more. I know what that's like. But we ought to really put our hearts and put our minds to it to get the right syrup out and to pour it all over all the French toast or whatever you eat. If it's biscuits, I'm for that. Even if it's that stuff they eat that's hard as a rock that you get from New York, what they call them, the bagels. Ugh, not even a hound dog would eat that stuff. But if that's what you like, Knock yourself out. I love you. Love believeth all things. I agree that you love it. I just don't know why you love it. They served that to me on El Al one time, Brother Russ. And I took one bite of it and I said, that ain't fit to eat. And I laid it aside. Matter of fact, I almost thought about putting it in that throw-up bag and sticking it in the hole up there and making a note on that bag. Y'all need to get some biscuits in this place, you know. It was so bad. But we don't want that. We want, can I be Southern just a little bit? We want those Southern buttermilk biscuits. Fluffy. Fluffy of all fluffy in the middle. And we want it topped off with that nice golden top that your granny took, you know, that her three fingers and daubed in the grease and just right on the top and put it in the oven. And when it comes out, oh my word, glory be. I've gone to heaven. And you take that thing apart and it's just steaming. And you can see all the fluffiness there. And you reach over there and get the butter. The butter that does not belong in the refrigerator, by the way. That is not good. That's not righteous. Butter does not belong in the refrigerator because it will ruin a biscuit. You get your butter out. Now, it's soft, right? It's soft. Now, if you use margarine, whatever, but you know what I'm talking. And then you dip that off. And with that hot, now, butter knife that you just separated the glory biscuit, it's hot. And so it's hard to keep the butter. Now, at this time, it's hard to keep the butter on that warm knife. But you can do it if you work at it. Even if you have to stick your finger down there on the other side and hold it on there. Then you put it over there on that biscuit. Smooth it around. It's easy to do. Look at that. Matter of fact, that looks so good. This other side's getting jealous. I think it wants a little bit too. And you put it on that side and you lay it down there on the plate. And what's better than that melting butter? Look at that. Look at that biscuit. Nobody can make biscuits like that. That's something else. I better take a picture of this and send it to Brother Colt. Then you go looking for that syrup and you pour on that love. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's worth eating. That's good. Now, it may not be your cup of tea, but it's mine. I guarantee you it is mine. And our lives would just be better off if we were mindful about how we went about life and how we served up our lives to others, that we would be a sweet buttermilk biscuit with just the right of crunchiness on top, but the wonderful fluffy inside and all that melted butter. And if you like jam or jelly, that's perfectly fine. That's sanctified too. Or Blue Label or Green Label. You can go with Green Label. If you're faint of heart, you can go with the Green Label. Or you can get the Log Cabin, cheap stuff. You can do that. If that's what floats your boat, fine. But find you some sweetness. Find you some love. And share it with your loved ones this Thanksgiving. And I'll guarantee you, you'll have a better time. Let's stand.